Good evening, grave robbers, and welcome back to the Television Graveyard. We are your TV necromancers, Lara Prince and Noah Houlihan. We have come here tonight to examine the spirits of past television shows to find out which ones could be resurrected, should be resurrected, and which ones should just stay doomed. This is a podcast in which we will analyze the history, the hype, and the aftermath of shows that ran only one season or only one episode. With me, as always, is TV's Noah Houlihan.
I paid for a bell pepper in dimes.
So, this week we are doing our first dropout episode.
Yes!
We are doing Total Forgiveness.
Total Forgiveness. This has been on the docket forever.
Quite some time.
We were just like saving our dropout subscription for when we were finally going to sit down and do Total Forgiveness. And really enjoying Dropout, turns out. We watch a lot of Dropout now.
Yeah, it turns out I just want to watch Game Changer all the time.
Yes, we loved Game Changer. We love Make Some Noise.
Yeah.
We spend some time with Dirty Laundry. And we don't click with Dimension 20. We try.
No. And I
try.
I think the irony of it is that it's a very... Every episode is very, very long. It reminds me of season one of our show.
Yeah, they're all 2.5 hours.
When we had a hard time with figuring out the format with this show for the first season.
Yeah, it's nice to keep them, like, bite-sized and like, maintainable.
Commutable.
Yes. That's why we're doing the first half of Total Forgiveness.
We also had a little bit of schedule slip because we had a major technical issue in our household.
Yeah, we lost the TV. We now have a tiny TV.
Yes.
That is less good, but we are trying.
Yeah, we just need to logistically get the new TV.
Yeah, it's been trying times here in Stay Doomed headquarters, but we're moving on. We're moving on, and let's pour one out for the TV.
So I have whiskey.
You have whiskey?
Yeah.
You have whiskey?
Mm-hmm. It's apple juice.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
That's just apple juice.
That's funny.
And you'll see why later.
Yeah, I went with candy and honey. So I have honey whiskey that I've put a little bit of candy in. And I'm just going to do it as a shot for the episode 2, which was Oompa Loompas and the Bee.
Oh.
So I've mixed it together. I'm just going to do it as a shot.
What I want to point out here is the only candy we had in the house are rainbow candy canes.
Mm-hmm.
That are from roughly October.
Yeah. It's fine. It was a shot of whiskey. Anyway.
Yeah, and it's me. So I bought those candy canes in October.
Look, I've already done the shot. Don't make me feel worse about it.
It's sugar. How bad could it go?
That's true. I just don't want to think about it.
Honey All doesn't right. go bad. You can eat honey from ancient Egyptian times. I mean, you'll probably be cursed forever.
But well, I mean, it was just honey whiskey. I didn't put any actual honey.
Oh, we have a lot of honey.
Oh, well.
Bees! Allie and Grant are broken to have loans.
Yes.
So they pitched the idea to Sam Reich, who was the president of... I believe we were still College Humor at this point.
Yes, it's still College Humor at this point, and this is them. This is like one of the first Dropout shows. So, like, they're in the process of creating this streaming service. This is the only part of the show I don't really buy.
Oh, I feel like it is a reenactment of something that already happened.
Yeah, because what happens is they go into Sam Reich's office, Grant and Allie do. And if you don't know who these people are, watch some College Humor stuff because they're wonderful people. And they start by slating it, and it doesn't say Total Forgiveness on the slate. It says Grant and Allie thing.
Yes.
And whoops. And they go in and they basically say, like, we want to do a stunt show to pay off our student loans.
Yeah, and the word they keep using, the thing they keep trying to compare it to is jackass.
Yeah. And the idea is, and it's a good premise.
The idea is, like, student loans are such a nightmare. The next 20 years for us are just, like, kind of shitty every month. Barely scraping by, and we're saying, like, what if you, like an accordion, push that into just 4 months of, like, actual shitty scary living. And then we're done.
And Sam's response is, I don't want to feel responsible tormenting you. If maybe you were tormenting each other.
Yes.
You were each other's tormentors. It would work better. And I don't buy this as a spur-of-the-moment conversation that we're actually getting.
No, I think this is a reenactment of a conversation that happened.
Yeah, for sure. But that gives us the premise. And the premise is they are going to have to challenge each other to various stunts. And if you succeed, you get money. If you fail, your tormentor gets money. So before this is greenlit, they're like, go shoot one and we'll see.
Yes. We also get a little bit of background about how they're doing.
This is the most interesting part to me.
We see Grant's tiny little apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And we find out he waits tables on the weekends because he's desperate to have a little bit of wiggle room. And he makes it clear that College Humor pays him a living wage.
Yeah.
He has what he considers to be a very good, steady job in entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
But he pays $750 a month in student loans, which is more than I, at the time this was filmed, was paying in rent.
Yeah.
Because this was more than I was paying for my half of my first apartment.
Mm-hmm.
Which I wanted to contextualize. Obviously, that was a few years ago.
Right, right.
But it was consistent with the time they were filming.
Mm-hmm.
Allie's car, she got for $500 and is leaking oil.
Yeah.
And she talks about how she owes $55,000.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, like, look, I got half scholarships every year. I was an RA. I did everything I could to have fewer student loans.
Yeah. I'd like to point out that she's in debt for a philosophy degree.
And Grant's in debt for a theater degree.
For a theater degree, which is, like, so painful to hear. I mean, I also went to college for theater, but I also got an English degree, so I could have something more substantial that I could find a job with. Kids, if you're listening to this and you're thinking about going to college for theater, the reason you're doing that is to make connections. It's not for the piece of paper. If you go to college for theater and you're not doing shows, you're not getting what you should be getting out of this.
I went to a school with no theater program, no academic theater program.
Mm-hmm.
But what we did have was a very, very robust student theater program.
Right.
When you and I first started talking, we established that I may have done more shows and gotten to do more stuff.
Yeah.
Because we were given money and little supervision and, you know, told to hope for the best.
Yeah, the college I went to had a small theater program, and as a result, I got to basically run it.
Yeah.
So I got to do everything. I got to, like, run lights. I got to act. I got to direct a show that I wrote. I got to do a tour in Greece.
Yeah, that's...
Like, if I went to a really competitive school, I may not have those opportunities. Just things to consider.
Yeah, our student theater, it was all what you made it.
Exactly.
I got to do pretty much everything except lighting, because at the time I went there, the lights were done with these, like, very, very structurally unsound ladders, and I was afraid of them. So I didn't do lighting in college because I was afraid to die. But if you want to go to school for theater, really think about, like, where you can make the opportunities for yourself.
Yeah. And yeah, we just saw this episode and was like, we feel so bad. let's spread some truth about college. So we also get a scam that Allie pulls, which I really enjoyed.
Yeah.
Allie gets a shot of espresso at a Starbucks in a cup of ice and then just goes to, like, the self-service station and pours milk over it and was like, this is only a $3 latte. I was like, oh, man.
Have you never seen that? That's such an old bit.
But clearly not, because I was excited by it.
Ah, man, someone's never been broke and working in the city and it shows.
I didn't start drinking Starbucks until, like, you started going to Starbucks a lot with me.
That's true. And I feel like to this day.
And I found one drink, and it's the only thing that I get there.
I like one drink, and that's it.
That's it. I'm not adventurous.
You don't even like it cold.
No, I don't. When it's cold, it's gross. Only hot white chocolate mochas for me. In any case.
I'll drink anything.
What I like is then we get a like a pitch meeting.
Yeah.
Where it's Grant and Allie and like the rest of College Humor.
Yes.
Kind of just pitching stuff back and forth. And we get a great quote where it's like,
can I make Allie like cut off her finger?
Whatever one step below removing a pinky is, that sounds great. Like if here's the ceiling, cutting off a pinky is right above it.
Which leads to a chant from the rest of the cast. Bees, 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 bees,
bees, bees, bees, bees, bees, bees, bees, bees.
Yes, it turns out Grant hates bees. So the first thought is bees. And Allie's like, remember this has to escalate. So basically her response to it is,
we'll get to bees.
If this is a full series, I'm saving bees for later.
Yeah. Mood. So I do love this. Then Katie helpfully pipes up and goes, what about leeches?
What about leeches?
And Katie also, it's very important to note, has an office dog.
Yes, Katie has an office dog that we fall in love with.
Yeah, like, you see the dog periodically through episodes, just kind of chilling, being a doggy. And I love that. Somebody goes, can we do that in the office? And Raph goes, yes. And then you hear, Raph said we could!
Yeah, this is so fun. Just the way that you can tell that it's a bunch of friends actually talking.
So what they end up settling on is Grant is going to give an interview while his torso is covered in leeches.
Yes.
And Allie is going to Skype their ex, Myrta.
Their Dutch girl.
Yes.
As they say.
It's also at this point we realize that Allie uses they, them pronouns because we had not heard anyone refer to Allie by pronouns by this point.
Yeah, when we watch Allie in sketches, they usually call them Allie.
Yeah.
So it was something that we had not realized, but we're going to make an effort to make sure we use the proper pronouns.
Yes, because you can actually see in my notes where it starts to change.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we didn't realize that in part of episode one.
Yeah.
And my notes reflect, because I looked and I realized there's a point where I see the change in the pronouns I use, which might have been when it came to our attention that Allie used they, them pronouns.
Yes.
So, Allie is going to Skype their ex, Myrta, their Dutch girl,
mm-hmm.
and have a heart-to-heart with them.
Yes, while eating spicy Thai food.
Yes.
Which is such a weird thing to add to this, but sure.
It's to create that physical reaction. Like, mm-hmm. it's not enough to make them have to Skype their ex. Well, like, because apparently Allie has, like, a little bit of an emotional unavailability issue.
Yeah.
But then, like, it's going to force tears. It's going to force...
Mm-hmm.
So, the crew who is filming Grant is displeased.
Yeah, so Grant is sitting, like, with a button-up shirt just open.
Yeah.
And they are going to put leeches on his stomach and his face. So they have to put, like, cotton up his nose so that the leeches don't go up and, I guess, eat his brain. While he's interviewing an expert on student loans.
Yes, which I kind of love.
I love that they also take the time to kind of be this informative show.
They do talk a lot about... they actually, and this is spoiling the end a little bit, they actually do have this person come back and help Grant and Allie with their finances.
Oh, I did not realize.
So this is an expert that they're talking to, and Grant interviews him, and they're talking about student loans in this country and the predatory nature of student loans.
Did you catch how much student loan debt currently exists?
I did not.
$1.48 trillion in student loan debt. And that was in 2018.
Yeah.
So, like, maybe it got better when the student loans froze for a bit. But, like, that's an insane amount of money that's just owed.
Yeah, it's deeply upsetting. because we find out Grant owes about $95,000.
Mm-hmm.
And Allie owes about $55,000.
Yes.
Which is a lot.
Yeah. It's quite the mountain to climb.
And, like, when you think about it, you had student loans, I had student loans, and the only reason my student loans weren't worse was someone literally died.
Yeah.
Like, my grandfather died, and that's the money my parents used to send me to college.
Same.
Which is deeply upsetting. Like, the reason... And we both had student loans, but mine were comparatively very low. Yeah. I only owed about a year of undergrad.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not, and I did go to a public institution. I was able to, so I wasn't paying like $50,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
And it was also like the 2000s because I'm deeply ancient. So
I have a note here that I really would like to see this interview uncut.
Yeah.
Because it's a show, we don't get to see all of it, but. One thing that's, like, insane to me is that they show a leech being put on Grant's face.
Yes.
And then they cut away, and then they come back, and they're like, okay, this leech is done. And they pull it off, and it is so fat now. It is unbelievable.
And that I just did... is Allie's reaction when they see Grant at the end of this interview.
Well, we got to talk about how it goes with... Allie and their Dutch girl.
Yeah. They talk about it. They talk about why they didn't work out.
Right. Because neither are willing to move.
Yeah, because it sounds like Allie met Myrta when they were studying abroad.
Mm-hmm.
And they weren't willing to move. And Myrta didn't want to move to the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
So there was just an end date on them.
Yeah.
The call ends in an I love you.
It ends with I love you. Allie has tears in their eyes, which might be more spicy food related, but it's hard to tell. And then the note I have here is two very broken people meet.
Yes.
Because like a very...
Grant's shirt is closed again, but it's covered in blood.
It's so bloody. It looks like a crime scene.
Yeah, It looks like an after picture at, like, a deathmatch show. When they're, like, taking it to prove a point.
And for some reason, Grant still just has the things in his nose. And then Allie just walks over very sad, and they just kind of sit down, and they're like, all right, we did it. And then the credits come up, and, like, sad facts are played over the credits as well.
Sad fact, and occasionally we see very silly things.
Mm-hmm.
Because every one of these kind of ends with, you occasionally see what appears to be a screenshot from
like
the
a
College
text.
Humor Slack chat.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that I find very funny is that Grant's picture is Keith from Try Guys.
Yes.
And we get a post-credit stinger in this that's very funny.
Right.
It's Allie excusing themselves during a D20 taping later that day to go to the bathroom because of the typhoon.
Yeah, again.
Which is such a, like, relatable...
So, a few things I want to do at the end of each episode is...
They each win $500.
They win $500 for this. So my question to you would, of course, be... Would you do this? And I think there are three answers I would like to put out. Yes, I would do this. No, I wouldn't do this. Or I'd do this for $100.
I would Skype my ex. I actually have an ex in Europe as well.
That is true.
I would Skype my ex for $500. I would Skype my ex and eat Thai food
mm-hmm.
for $500. No problem.
Yeah. I think, believe it or not, I think I would do both of these for $100.
I would not do the leeches for $100. How bad do I need the money?
I'm saying like where we are right now in life.
No, I would not do the leeches for $500.
I think I would definitely do the leeches just
if I
for
them.
The experience.
No.
The one thing about me that's a problem for looking at this is...
Your toxic trait.
My toxic trait is... When deciding if I should do something, one of the big deciding factors for me is, will this be a good story to tell later?
Yeah.
And man, that's a great story to be like, yeah, I got covered in leeches. So I would totally do that. I think day of, I'd be a little bit freaking out. I love the idea of getting free Thai food.
Yeah.
So, yeah. To me, I really feel like, for me personally, Allie's challenge is very easy.
Oh, yeah.
Because not everyone has a good relationship with their ex, but Allie could have gone in there and just shut down emotionally, which would have been made easier by the Thai food.
Yeah.
And just be like, disassociation. It's hard to disassociate when a leech is on you. But in this, they both win $500.
Yes.
And this episode is good enough to greenlight the series.
Yes.
So the series moves forward.
Absolutely. So the next episode, we opened with them getting the first check.
This is a great way to open this show.
And each of them gets $321 of the $500 they won.
Yeah, because of taxes.
Because of the way it's done, it's technically a bonus. Because it's not part of their salary, so it's taxed at a higher rate. So Sam and Adam is the other producer.
Yeah.
I believe Adam is also the director. Sam and Adam have a talk, and they up the money that they could get. Mm-hmm. So each of them could stand to win up to $35,000 if they complete every task.
Yes.
They're going to do 10 episodes total, and in each episode it's going to escalate. And then we find out something that lasts for the rest of the series. Grant O'Brien cannot do math.
Cannot do math.
We see him fail at basic math for the entire series.
Constantly.
This has it kind of going up, so there is like a $7,500 episode before that.
If someone wins both, that person gets like 14 grand.
15 grand. You are really bad at math.
Wow, bro. This Holy is my shit. First challenge to you.
No wonder you're an actor.
An AP math test and pass
Grant
it.
Just doubled $7,500 no. in his head and you got 14. He got $1,400.
No. I don't want to do the show.
No, we're gonna.
It should be noted though, if they completed all the challenges from this point over, this point on, they would each make $35,000.
Yeah.
Which means in theory, it's just in theory because the first episode is over, but in theory, one person could win $70,000.
Yes.
Because if they completed all their challenges and caused their opponent to lose all their challenges, they would walk away with all of the money. So it's time to play ball. Grant's challenge.
It'd be about $22,750 each after tax.
Oh, wow.
If they each won every challenge.
Okay.
I felt like that was relevant considering what we were talking about.
Yeah, that's definitely relevant.
So, Grant is going to have to wear a shock collar when his voice gets above a certain decibel level.
Yes.
Grant is very loud.
Yeah, he'll be shocked because he's wearing a bark collar. And on top of that, if he's shocked three times, he loses.
And Allie has to get an orange spray tan and dye their hair Oompa Loompa green. They're getting an Oompa Loompa makeover.
And tanned Trump orange are the words that are used.
So we see Allie get the spray tan, and the spray tan is not flattering. It is, in fact, Trump orange. But the green hair looks really good.
The green hair looks... excellent. And they also do a nice thing here while Allie's getting their hair dyed that the beautician talks about her student loans.
Do you have student loans?
I did have student loans. My bill was like $16,000 and I had never really heard of $16,000 before. I went to the military.
The Army, right?
Yes.
And I was like, oh, this is going to happen throughout the whole show is we're going to bring in experts and they're going to talk about their debt. And I was like, this show is going to be way better and way different than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
So I love that they do this.
Allie also is able to successfully shower off a good amount of spray tan that night. So, like, they never look that bad. They look a little orange for this episode.
Yeah.
They have the green hair for the rest of the show. But it mellows out, and actually they look really good in it.
It should be noted, Allie that day also has to get a new driver's license.
Oh, that's true.
So right. They are very orange with green hair in the driver's license photo.
Also, I don't know how it works in California, but where I'm from, if you are lazy and renew your license online, mm-hmm. They don't make you take your picture new every time. So they, if they choose to be lazy and renew their license the lazy way, they are stuck with that photo for like the next decade.
I just got my driver's license renewed and I'm looking at it now and I'm trying to really think how old this picture is because my previous driver's license is behind it and it's the same picture. How long does a driver's license last?
3 years, I want to say.
3 years? Yeah. Okay. No, 4 years.
Oh, good for you.
4 years. So this picture is probably 12 years old. That's on my driver's license.
I know I got a new one when I did not get my license until very, very late. So I actually had a non-driver ID for a little while.
Oh, really?
Because I didn't get my license until after I turned 21.
Oh.
And I wanted to have an ID when I turned 21. Yes.
Can't drive, but I can have an alcohol.
I mean, you shouldn't do those two things at the same time anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I just had
separate.
I had a get out of DD pass for a little while because I just didn't have a license. But so I know that my first picture is not the picture I still have. And I know that I'm like two pictures later. Because I'm smiling in one and they tell you not to smile anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one where I have crazy eyes. Because I tend to squint when the flash goes off because I'm very photosensitive. So how I used to counteract that in pictures was make my eyes very large. But the flash didn't make... And usually the flash would make them kind of like narrow enough that I just settled into normal.
Right.
But no, I just have like huge crazy eyes. It went really well.
So that's the gist of Allie's challenge.
Also, Grant, they decide to put him in a room with 1B.
Oh, before we even get to that, we have to talk about how sadistic the cast of College Humor is.
Oh, they're here for a good time.
Because Grant still has to work a full day wearing the shock collar. And everyone is really taking joy in the fact that Grant can't speak. Grant, when first putting on the collar, does get shocked.
Yeah.
And, like, freaks out. And it's very clearly, like, real true anger. Like, Grant gets up and punches the wall.
Oh! God damn it! God
no
damn
way.
It!
Really?
Fuck!
Did we turn it up? Did we turn it up?
Oh, my lord! Oh, the dog's upset.
So it must really suck.
It does hurt.
Mike Trapp is talking to Grant.
Mike Trapp's having the best day.
Mike Trapp is so funny and, like, is only in this show a little bit, but every time Trapp shows up, it's very funny.
Need to lock down a title for the Flight Shool series. Very aptly misspelling the word school in this show about how much you've gained from your student loans.
Raph is just explaining why The West Wing is a bad show to Grant, and Grant is dying inside. And there is a moment where Jess is trying to comfort Grant and, like, talk him through drinking water because they're afraid that's going to set off the collar.
Jess is very, very sweet.
Yes.
Through this entire...
Yes.
Like, Jess and Katie Maravich are seen throughout this just being generally very sweet.
Yes. It's going to come up, so I'm just going to say this now. I went to high school with Jess Ross, so it was nice to see Jess Ross being Jess Ross, just the person that I knew.
Grant is having trouble, and I was trying to think of what people would do to... I would never make it. I would forget and shoot my mouth off and shock myself.
You think you would forget?
I feel like it would happen just enough that I would forget.
I honestly think after that first time being shocked, I could never forget.
That might be true. I'm just thinking about it as someone who hasn't.
But we should now mention that since he makes it through the whole day, they lock him in a room with a bee.
One bee.
With a singular bee. For 15 minutes, a half hour? How long was he in there with the bee?
15 minutes.
And the entire cast of College Humor is there just to watch.
Yeah.
As Grant silently stands in a small room staring at a bee.
Now, he's not allergic.
He's just afraid of them.
Yes. Well, I feel like that's a good line.
He was not going to die in there.
Yeah, I think that's an important thing to mention, honestly. Yeah. he was not in mortal danger. I have literally never been stung by a bee.
Oh, really?
I've somehow, despite, like, I spent a lot of time outside as a kid, I still do spend a lot of time outside, mm-hmm. and I just kind of have this very, like, I will stay away from you, you stay away from me, goodbye.
I've been stung by many bees, because where I lived, I had a very big backyard, but I always, as a child, I don't know why, I hated wearing shoes.
Okay.
I think maybe someone yelled at me too many times about them being untied, so I was just like, I'm not wearing them. So I was constantly running around barefoot and stepping on bees and getting stung. So I've been stung many times. I believe I was stung on the phone with you once.
You were.
I was just mid-conversation and one landed on the back of my neck. You know, I've been stung by a bee. I've been stung by a bee.
I mean, I was also like a little feral as a kid. So there's a chance I was stung and just didn't notice.
Yeah,
because I was a little feral. Like, I was always outside. I was always in the woods.
Right.
It seems statistically improbable that I was never stung by a bee.
So after Grant escapes the room, he's allowed to take off the shock collar.
Yeah.
And immediately yells,
are there going to be a lot of fucking surprises in this fucking show all the time?
Which is weird because it's his show. The fact that he hasn't thought of pulling surprises yet is really on him. As the contestant / executive producer for this show. So in the end, they both win $750, and they've both succeeded. So I ask you, would you do this?
I think I would do both of these, honestly.
I think I would do both of them as well. I think
for
I would.
For $1,250? Yeah. Oh, excuse me.
No, $750.
Yeah, still.
Yeah, I would
do
both of these.
Sorry, that was the total number.
I think it would have to be $750 for the shock collar one. I would probably dye my hair and get the spray tan for $100.
No, I'm not selling myself short on either of these. I would want the fact that I would have to have my ID is what puts it over into I wouldn't do it for $100.
Ah, see, that's the fun story for me is being like, oh yeah, one time I dyed my hair green and got spray tanned. I have a picture always on me of this day. Look how funny it is. I would get my identity stolen because I would just show my ID to everybody.
All right, episode 3.
Yeah, we're up to $1,000.
So Grant forces Allie to attend their own funeral and lay in a coffin for an entire day of work.
Well, I love the setup to this. Grant says, you look like someone who had a goth phase. And Allie responds,
a goth phase?
No, I missed it because I was Christian.
So Allie is going to spend an entire work day in a coffin. Meanwhile, Grant has to go camping.
Yeah, he has to go camping overnight with only a bag Allie has packed for him.
Right.
And we find out two of Grant's loans are in default.
Yes, like during the show, he actually gets a phone call from a debt collector.
Yes.
And now he has to pay $315 a month to help pay off two of his 7 loans, which is terrifying to think about.
Yeah. Oh, that.
So do you want to talk about the coffin first or the camping first?
The coffin first, because we, that actually takes place first in the episode. We okay. see that whole challenge. And we first see the funeral, and it's just Allie's coworker saying a lot of nice things about them.
This is the problem I have with the show, is while Allie is in a coffin with like a baby monitor.
Yes.
Because part of it is Grant didn't want Allie to be able to turn Grant off.
Yeah, because Grant wants to be annoying the whole time.
Right. So they're going to do a eulogy for Allie. And
yes.
Mike Trapp gets up and says, if this was Grant in the coffin, I'd probably bang on the lid and maybe fart in the air vent. But that seems wrong to do to Allie.
I'll always remember Allie as less fun to fuck with than Grant. And there are many things that, if Grant were in this coffin, I would want to do. Perhaps drum on the lid a little bit. Perhaps fart into the ventilation tube. And these are things that I feel would be somehow wrong to do to Allie, but right to do to Grant.
And there is this kind of feeling of the cast is more willing to be mean to Grant than they are to Allie. And Grant actually says in the previous episode, I feel like everyone's against me. And I believe it is Trapp responds with, I'm not against you. I just think you did a bad job. Because Grant suffers in the previous episode. And Allie looks great.
Yeah, and Allie's spray tan's already settled by this episode. Yeah. And like the green hair actually looks fantastic on them. Like, this is something we see through the first half, is that like, Allie's gonna sail through a lot of this.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all of Allie's coworkers saying beautiful, kind things about them. Like, they're all giving these little speeches about how much they love Allie.
Right.
And except for Trapp, who chooses to use his time to mess with Grant.
Mm-hmm.
So, they also then put, like, Grant, halfway through the day, is like, I got you lunch, Allie, and puts, like, a tuna sandwich in there.
Yeah.
Which would be the worst part to me, too.
Yeah. Allie hates the smell of tuna and now is trapped in a box with it to the point that Allie eats the sandwich to get rid of it.
Yeah. I don't know that I could eat the sandwich.
We also missed the part where Allie doesn't have their phone.
Yes. Oh, and Grant answers texts from someone Allie is seeing.
Yes. Allie's girlfriend texts and Grant responds, new phone, who dis? And this is the only time where Allie's like banging on the coffin, like yelling.
Yes. The whole office is pretty much on Allie's side at this point. And then we also then get, after that, we get Allie brainstorming with several of the other College Humor cast members on what to put in Grant's bag.
Right.
The bottle of whiskey replaced with apple juice.
Yeah.
So Grant can't just drink himself into oblivion and forget.
The whole, like, theme is things Grant almost needs.
Yes.
So Jess Ross suggests a map, but of Disneyland.
Yes. Which, yes, love it. There is a first aid kit full of plastic spoons.
Full of plastic spoons. A bunch of Trump signs.
Yes. Adult videos.
Adult videos. And this, I think, was a mistake. I thought, because he opens the bag and he sees a portable DVD player.
Yeah.
I was like, that is great if there are then no DVDs. Because then it's totally useless. Or the only DVD is something horrendous.
Yeah, like
After Earth.
Blonde,
yeah.
So, what else is in there? And my favorite thing. There's a Furby.
There's a Furby.
With the on-off switch scraped off, so you cannot turn him off.
So it's just a Furby that's sitting there talking. And
I was deeply afraid of Furbies as a child.
Oh, yeah. And Grant goes, oh, Furby, what a nightmare. The other interesting... Oh, don't forget the Katie Maravich body pillow.
Oh, yeah. I did forget the Katie Maravich body pillow.
Such a funny bit. But it should be mentioned that when... they're setting up the camping challenge. Grant can leave and quit the challenge. But It is a 45-minute hike from the car to where Grant is camping. So if you were totally freaked out and wanted to leave at 3 a.m., I don't think there is a moment where I'm like, well, I've had enough. Time for a 45-minute hike through the dark.
Yeah. And we don't see a lot of the evening. We do see like a time lapse.
Yeah, it looks like they set up a camera for like a time lapse, and there's a few moments of Grant filming himself like, I'm in the tent. Woo-hoo. Yeah.
Going to bed. Yeah. Sleeping through this. And the next morning, Adam, the director, and Allie show up and they bring Grant coffee and a breakfast sandwich.
Right.
And the episode ends with Grant hucking the Furby into the woods. And Adam's like, go get that.
Yeah, you can't just litter.
So you just hear Grant grumbling as he goes to fetch the Furby. The Furby has a lot of good comic moments in this episode.
They both succeed and they both make $1,000 on this one.
Yes.
Do you think you could do these?
Allie's, I certainly could. I would not enjoy it because I would hate the tuna. The tuna sandwich is the thing that would get me.
The tuna sandwich is tough.
But I think I wouldn't be able to do Grant's challenge. And I don't know that they would have a woman do Grant's challenge.
True.
Because I think, like, I wouldn't be afraid of nature or animals or bugs.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be worried about people.
Right.
Like, and I'm not sure they would put me in that situation.
Well, I will say,
because you asked me, like, would you, off mic, you were like, would you camp in my backyard?
Yeah.
I went, yeah.
Because ideally, I think that is almost better if you're forced to not just camp, but camp knowing that bed is right there.
I think a meaner way to do this that would have made me laugh is one of them has a house party and Grant is forced to camp outside.
Yeah, yeah. Because I will admit, when we first decided to watch this, my brain immediately went, what would I challenge Lara to do? And literally the first thing I thought of was camp.
Because I don't like...
Because I know how much you hate camping.
I don't like camping. Right. I love being comfortable.
Yeah. I think I could camp no problem. I've been camping once. I went with an ex-girlfriend who had a trailer. But I wasn't allowed to sleep in the trailer. So they set up a tent for me outside the trailer on the stones of the driveway instead of the grass.
Were they worried about the grass?
I don't know. I deserve $1,000 for that one.
Well, yeah, that's... I went to summer camp, and we had what was called a lean-to.
Okay.
It is a cabin with three walls and a ceiling. But no fourth wall. You just walk in through that blank wall.
Oh, so you're on a sitcom.
So we, yes. So we hung up blankets because you still had to like change in there and stuff. And you had two bathroom options, depending on how brave you were. And bravery could be defined in different ways. There was the latrine, which was like a hole in the ground, essentially, with like a seat. Or, which smelled horrible and had spiders. Or you could walk way further to where the pool was and go to the pool bathrooms, which were, like, essentially a public restroom type thing.
Mm-hmm.
But you had to walk 20 minutes in the dark to get there.
Mm.
So knowing me, which option do you think I went with?
I don't think you're walking through the dark.
No, I totally walked through the dark.
Oh, really?
Spiders and a hole in the ground to poop in versus actual bathroom and 20 minutes in the woods.
Oh, all right. I guess that makes sense.
I also had this very distinct internal logic of I had no fear of Jason Voorhees.
Mm-hmm.
I was at a summer camp and I was like, he never killed a camper. I'm good.
True.
I was like, I am a 12-year-old girl. I am not getting killed today. Mm-hmm. He would take one look at me and go, camper, bye-bye. And then go kill my counselor.
And real quick before we move on, I think I could totally do the coffin. I've done sensory deprivation tanks before. I've paid to do this challenge. I would gladly make $1,000 to do this challenge.
I think I would get really annoying in it because the baby monitor went both ways. And I think I would just choose to be annoyed. Mm. Like, I would be talking to the baby monitor. They would want to shut it off.
Right.
Because I would be like, I want to sing show tunes because I'm bored.
I'm real good at sleeping, so I probably would have taken a nice nap.
Yeah, I think I wouldn't have worn my contacts into work that day. I think I would have been like planning the nap.
Yeah. That's the one thing I want to bring up right now is one element I think is missing from this show is you don't see them preparing for the stunt.
We don't.
Because literally the answer to both of these challenges is NyQuil.
Yeah.
If you just had NyQuil, both of these challenges are a breeze.
Yeah.
So the fact that we don't see them preparing for anything and being like, this is my strategy going in, you only see it kind of once in like a future episode that I can think of. But that is something that I would have liked to have seen more, because like a good chunk of the challenges also have like a goal you must reach. It's yes. not just do stunt. It's like do stunt and succeed. Like I would have liked to have seen more of the strategy when it came to the stunts. All right. Episode 4.
This one is one of my favorite challenge pairs. Grant must do a 10-minute set of stand-up. Allie will write 7 minutes for him and then give him topics for him to riff for the next 3 minutes.
Yes. I love this as a challenge.
And Grant is going to force Allie to publish their diaries from their formative years of high school and college.
Yeah. So, what do you want to talk about first?
Let's talk about Grant.
Okay, because the first thing that I love about this is when Grant is pitched what he'll have to be doing, he says, what if I just nail it? Which is, as a stand-up comedian, seeing someone who's never done stand-up say that out loud, like, well, what if I kill, hits home to me so much, because anyone who tries stand-up for the first time immediately thinks, well, I'll get a standing ovation at the end of this. And you don't, not your first time. You'll get there. But like, stand-up is such a difficult craft, and just seeing him be cocky, knowing that he's not even going to get to write his own material.
That's the thing that would bother amazing. Me. Because like, when I wrote my first 5 minutes, I wrote like 10 minutes and pared down. Because I got into stand-up comedy out of Spite.
Spite.
Spite was a big factor. And I did really well my first run of shows, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One of those moments where I was like, I should have done more. I should have failed at this.
Well, you were a student of the game of what not to do.
That's
because,
true.
Because Laura and I met at an open mic.
I did not wish to be there.
Laura did not wish to be there, but it was like a good common place between us was this open mic. So we hung out at this open mic very often. And over time, Lara was able to really hone in on what not to do. Because there was a lot of comics there that had perfected bad comedy. And you were like, ah, I won't do that.
Yes.
I won't use the F word as every third word.
Yeah, I actually work surprisingly clean. I think... Well, nowadays, especially, I work cleaner than I used to. But I really think there was a lot of it that also... I definitely had to learn the hard way that certain jokes were a little bit too... Like, you had to learn your audience.
Yeah, you were very cerebral in the beginning.
I had a joke about the red patch of courage.
Yeah.
And I don't mean, like, the euphemism for period. I mean, like, the book, The Red Badge of Courage.
The book, The Red Badge of Courage. I think your first set was about the book, The Red Badge of Courage.
I stand by that joke. It was a solid joke.
I can't think of their names. From Hamlet. You had a Rosencrantz and Guildenstern joke. And then Jorts or... Jeggings, and then a joke about jeggings. And I remember my first thought to your first set was like, she did really well for half the people being totally lost on what she was talking about.
The jeggings joke did go kind of well because I went so far with it that you didn't have to know what jeggings were.
Yeah.
Jeggings, for those of you listening to this in Year of Our Lord 2023, were those like super painted on tight skinny jeans.
Yeah.
That were in fashion for a little while.
Yeah. Jeans plus leggings.
Yeah. I don't know if they're going to come back, and I fear that. So
anyway, we see them brainstorming the jokes.
Yes.
And basically, it is a lot of, like, opinion, but no punchline. Like,
yes.
It's a lot of setups.
I feel like we should talk about the tomato thing. Tomatoes were the original avocados. You know, I don't know when tomatoes started to be so popular, but I imagine when they did, everyone was like, oh no, all these young people are putting tomatoes on their toast. That's why they have student loans.
Yeah, like, he doesn't really have act outs. He doesn't really have punchlines.
And you can see Trapp as a comedy writer cringing, just writing the jokes. Just,
Meanwhile, Allie, this is their Christmas. Like, Allie's having a great time.
Oh, yeah.
These jokes.
Oh, yeah. I see, like, Trapp pitches something like, can we just put up the Second Amendment and just have him talk about it?
And they do.
Yeah, that's incredible. So they have a very real comedy show.
Yes.
It's Adam Conover.
Who crushes,
who's a College Humor, like, alumnus.
Mm-hmm.
And then someone from The Daily Show that I didn't recognize.
Who also does super well.
Crushes. But this is being, like, pitched as Grant's been working on stand-up for
months,
and this is his big coming out party. So he's headlining. So, few interesting things I want to say before we get into what his actual set is. One, I can't get a read on how many people were there.
Nor can I. I imagine it was a fair few, just because Adam Conover would have been a bit of a draw, and...
Well, based on the way it is shot, I don't think it is sold out. Because we never get that grandiose shot of the audience being
No, full. We certainly don't.
Also, because of the how it is shot, there is a lot of shots of Grant's friends. Like,
yes.
You see Jess and Trapp, and you see Allie, like, laughing in the corner and stuff like that. So I'm trying to figure out how many civilians were there.
You also see a lot of shots of the green room and those reaction shots.
Right. It should also be noted that anytime a joke falls flat, Grant has to respond, it's all love.
Yes, we forgot about that. That's part of the challenge.
It's all love. I kind of feel like that was a mistake.
Okay.
Because it's kind of funny the first couple times. When Grant does his set, it doesn't go well. But as someone who has seen someone bomb thousands of times, the way that Grant goes through it is he bombs and then he goes to the next joke that then bombs. And I think it's Trapp says something like, it was so painful seeing you move on as if the next joke was earnestly going to make you laugh. And then that one falling flat. The thing that's missing is the identifying that you're bombing and trying to save it.
Yeah.
That is the... Because as someone who's bombed on stage before, you get to a point where your material's not working, so your gut instinct is... Like, fight or flight shows up, and you just want to run away from your material.
Yeah.
And that's where the, like, is this thing on? Can
yeah.
you guys hear me? You guys aren't really digging this.
Smart for the room.
Yes. I wish that there had been more... I'm trying to dig out of the hole I'm bombing jokes. And I think too smart for the room, things where a joke falls flat and then he insults the audience for not laughing.
Yeah.
Would have really turned up the heat on this
instead
one.
Of it's all love being like, come on.
Yeah.
Too challenging.
Yeah.
Is this the second
episode? Too soon? Too
is
soon?
Is this like the second or third episode in a row that I've referenced too challenging for you?
I'm pretty sure you've said it every episode since you've seen.
I love James Acaster so much.
Thanks. So I don't think I've ever actually included it in the episode, so maybe I'll do that this time.
What's the matter, guys? Too challenging for you?
So Grant does his set, and as I'm watching it, my first thought is, God, I wish I could watch this uncut. Guess what?
It's up there.
Dropout has my back. The entire set is up there.
I think I dissociated while we were watching.
So I wrote down some of the quotes that I got here. One, he asks the guy from The Daily Show for help, and the guy says, "Grant, have you ever done stand up before?" And he says, "I've done improv and sketch." And he responds, "Improv and sketch is bad preparation," which is a thing I've said 100 times. Improv is literally the opposite muscle of stand-up comedy.
And yet some of us refuse to learn.
Well, I think, I disagree. I think you're good at both. Like, to me, when I say it's the opposite muscle.
No, but I remember we had this exact conversation where I was like, I can do it. I've done improv. And you were like, no.
Like, improv is a bicep curl. Stand-up is a tricep curl. If you try to use your triceps to do a bicep exercise, it's not going to work. Because improv is always joke, yes, and. Joke, yes, and. Joke, yes, and make it go further and further and further. While stand-up is set a punch, set a punch, set a punch. And it's got to be that bop, 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 bop feeling instead of the improv of like, do-do, 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 do-do. And if you try to do that in stand-up, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
So there are some insane jokes. He does an impression called This American Pie, where he's Ira Glass talking about American Pie instead of American This American Life.
So I listen to the radio. You guys know the radio host Ira Glass? Yeah. That guy could host anything. It'd be like I'm Ira Glass. It's This American Pie. Stifler's mom bought a butt plug, but didn't buy any lube. You ever do that? Be forgetful? Sometimes the most important thing, because anal glands don't lubricate themselves. Nah, that's all love.
Which is bad.
It's painful.
There's... And this is the thing that really bothered me. He does a bit about how flossing is fake.
This is a serious point. Flossing is fake. These people who are so big on flossing, it's like, oh, you're definitely the pro-vaccination part of the tooth industry, which is just, you know, idiots.
Which is a rough statement. However, I must say, a week before writing this, I wrote a very similar joke.
No.
I was writing this joke about how flossing doesn't actually do something. It's just something for your dentist to yell at you. And I was planning on doing it at my show. And then I saw this and I was like, well, I can't do it now. So maybe as a bonus, I'll do it at an open mic soon. And we'll see if my flossing joke is better than Grant's.
No.
Needless to say, he gets through it. It's it's rough, but he does it. So let's talk about Allie.
Yeah, so Allie needs to publish and do a book launch party reading of their diaries, unedited.
Yes.
There's a great line here, a great pair of lines, where someone's reading over it and goes, you kept a calendar anytime you thought something gay. And Allie goes, I was trying to figure out if it was something I ate.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, Allie Beard, like, I'm going to look something up about Allie right now because I just want to see roughly how old they are. I get the impression they're about my age.
Sounds about right.
Which means, like, we would have been growing up around the same time. Which means, like, kind of having that awareness of what LGBTQ adolescents were thinking about and doing at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea, and they mentioned being raised Christian, so that element of just not kind of being probably very isolated from the community mm-hmm. and not having that access to information and that access to community is clearly very difficult for Allie and very isolating. And when they're reading their diaries, you see that.
This is one of the most fascinating parts of this show, is Allie reading their diary. And I again was like, man, I'd love to see this uncut.
And
Dropouts got me! They have the uncut reading of Allie Beardsley's diary. And the one like tiny thing that I did catch is they didn't really publish it. Like, they very clearly printed it out.
And like
using company paper.
Yes. There's only a handful of copies.
Yes.
They mentioned that they would be open to writing a book. They're like, I'd edit it down.
Because I will say, for research, I immediately tried to buy this.
Yes.
And it is not available. So it's not really published, but Allie did have to actually go to a Barnes & Noble and read in front of an audience
their diary.
Someone from their high school was there, which was very fun. But, like, it's actually really moving.
Yeah.
What they, is read.
They end up, again, same thing. They end up coming off so well. Because it ends up just kind of being this sweet, sad, beautiful little moment.
It really captures the struggle of being gay in a very Christian family. Because there's an entire journal entry where it's very clear Allie is just trying to write the words, I'm gay.
Yes.
And can't even write it in their personal diary. They just can't get it out. And the diary is just saying things like, I could write it, but I'm not going to write it. Why can't I write it? It doesn't matter. No one is going to read this, which is like the big laugh line.
Yeah.
It's actually very nice. The big question I have is, Allie has to do like a book signing as well. Did they sell this? Was like a profit made? Or were they just giving it out?
It might have been like just giving it out.
Maybe.
Or really just like covering the cost of the Barnes & Noble if they needed to. Rekha and Katie both cry during this.
Yeah.
Like, you see Rekha and Katie afterwards, and they're both crying. So again, for the fourth episode running, Allie comes out of it looking really good, and yeah. Grant looks like an idiot.
Grant looks like an idiot.
And they both win $1,500.
Yeah, they both win $1,500. So I then ask you again, could you do these?
Yeah.
You think you could do both of these?
I have bombed doing stand-up.
I know, but could you do it on purpose?
This is going to sound awful.
Yeah.
I almost think I'm like, there's no way to say this without sounding, I think I would still have fared a little better than Grant.
Well, what if you don't get to write the jokes?
No, I know. I know. Again, I feel like there's this element of people would feel worse for me because I look so harmless. Like, I feel like people would be like, oh. And then the diaries I absolutely, and you know, I
know you have diaries.
That was so menacing. I know you have them.
I was literally thinking how heavy they were when we were moving.
Cause I've fallen out of the habit as an adult, but, middle school through college, I kept a diary pretty consistently.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, they were always notebooks, and I was always faintly aware they could fall into the wrong hands.
Right.
So it's a lot of ye olde vague booking.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't mention boys' names. There's a lot of code names.
Right.
There's a lot of, you'd have to read between the lines to figure out what I'm actually complaining about.
Gotcha.
But yeah, I would do it.
I don't have any diaries to publish. I think there's some, like, I think you can find my old blog somewhere on the internet. Good luck, scavengers.
The writing style would be really mortifying. I know my live journal was scrubbed. I looked for it while researching this episode.
Interesting. I have bombed on purpose before. I'm now realizing a large number of these challenges are just things I've done. I've done that challenge before. I've gone on stage and bombed on purpose, just kind of like to make my friends laugh. There was actually a stand-up competition I did that it was a like March Madness tournament. And I was so angry waiting for my turn because I hated how the contest was being run that I was like, I'm just going to burn this down. And I went up there and I just bombed on purpose. And all the comics were rolling because they knew what I was doing, that I was just lighting the show on fire. And I was just, because I knew if I won, I'd have to come back for another round. It's like, I'm done, whatever. So yeah, I've bombed on purpose. If you guys want, I'll do it again. And I'll let you, the patrons, write my set. I don't care. So yeah, this is no problem for me. Let's talk episode 5.
Okay. The first episode kind of opens with everything is worked out for Allie. They meditate now because they got used to it in the coffin.
Right.
They like their hair. Their friends actually have told them they feel closer to them.
Yeah.
After reading the diary.
They've bonded. They've made more human connections.
And they've like worked out their stuff with their ex. So Allie is kind of like on top of the world at this point.
Right.
So then Grant puts to them that they are going to have to sing the national anthem at a minor league baseball game.
Right.
Hey, Noah, have you ever done something before a minor league baseball game that hasn't gone super great?
Oh my God, I've done all these things. I have. So, I think it's not in the final edit, but I remember watching it and discussing getting it cut out. But I was ring announcing at a minor league baseball game for Chikara. And I got into the ring and I was like, ladies and gentlemen, who's ready for some professional wrestling? Crickets. And I went, oh, come on, guys. I know you can do better than that. Who's ready for some Chikara pro wrestling? Somehow it was quieter the second time. And I looked at Bryce, who was the referee, and I went, they don't want to clap.
Oh, no.
So, yeah.
I was backstage babysitting a dog when this happened.
Yeah. So Allie's response to this is, can I wear a Make-A-Wish shirt? And they went, no!
How very Superstar USA!
Yeah. Let's just blow through the Allie part, and then we'll come back to Grant.
We established that Allie doesn't know the words to the national anthem.
This episode is so good that I went on Twitter to congratulate the editor.
The editor does absolutely.
The editor is awesome in this show because Allie says nobody knows the words to the national anthem, and then they smash cut to the entire College Humor office singing the national anthem, no problem.
I thought I did. I think everyone thinks they do, but they don't.
And the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air.
Yeah.
I was like, it's brilliantly.
Now, the national anthem is actually very challenging to sing.
It's one of the hardest songs.
So you can't really blame them for having difficulty, but you do wonder how they got through, like, living in a very Christian area, which tends to also be very like conservative and patriotic and Friday Night Lightsy, without picking that up somewhere right along the way. They're bad.
So
there's a great moment at the minor league baseball game where Allie is getting like kitted up. They're getting like the little shirt and the little hat from the team to kind of like, woo, go sports.
Yeah.
Go sports, go.
Yeah.
Athletics are number one. And over Allie's shoulder, Grant's talking about how they're freaking out. It's amazing. It's so well shot.
Like, you can see Allie's talking about how they're fine, and Grant, because he's Allie's friend, can read Allie a little bit better and be like, they're terrified. They're terrified right now.
They're so nervous. He mouths very clearly, they are so nervous.
I have to point out, Trap has two amazing lines in this show.
Yeah.
In this episode that killed me, where they ask Allie just to sing a little bit of the national anthem in the office. And Allie kind of starts and then stumbles and goes, I'm just so nervous because everyone's watching. And Trap goes, good point. You won't be nervous on the day. Which is a great line.
Oof.
We get some shots of like Allie practicing and then it's showtime. Once again, they don't make it clear how many people are actually there.
It is like
minor league baseball.
And it looks like a daytime game.
Right.
Like, I went to that minor league baseball game with you.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, super fun if you're looking for a relatively inexpensive night out. Minor league baseball is really fun.
It's a cheap date. It was dollar sandwich night.
It was dollar pork roll night because we're from New Jersey.
Yeah. It was great.
Which, you now know exactly which team it was.
Yes, it was the Fighting Trenton Pork Rolls.
Yes.
Not a joke, they changed their name to the Pork Roll.
Their mascot was a dancing piece of pork roll.
Oh, it was great. I'm going to see if I can find the footage of me eating it at the minor league game.
Yeah, blessings on the dog that kept me from having to witness it.
So then Allie goes up and sings and get some of the words wrong.
Yes.
And
giggles during it.
By the dawn early light, what so proudly we hailed, by the twilight's last gleaming.
It's interesting because all of Allie's friends are able to recognize it as a giggle. To me, it just sounds like Allie cracks.
Yeah.
Out of, like, fear. But the worst part of this to me is Allie then having to spend more time there and listening to the people going, like, good job. I know it's scary. Like, to me, like, I've bombed many times. Nothing is worse to me than after I bomb, people going, you know, it's real hard. Or you're so brave. That's the one that kills me, is when I get off stage and I'm told I'm brave. It's like, no, I was going for funny.
I've never gotten the you're so brave.
You're so brave is the worst.
But now I've got a new fear, so that's fun.
Yeah. And then, again, another wonderful Mike Trapp line, because Trapp also goes to witness Allie singing. Allie tries to, like, play it off like...
It's gorgeous out today, though. It smells like popcorn. Night. It's a perfect weather.
Truly, you ruined a perfect day of baseball.
How dare you!
So mean.
Mike Trapp is so funny. He's so sharp.
But it was fun, like... So Allie is a lot of fun. They do totally eat it.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually do watch them. We do watch. And by like, we watch the entire College Humor office watch it.
Right.
Because Grant's like, we're going to watch it again. So Grant's challenge is so much worse to me.
It's also fascinating because this tells me a lot about this show. I'm very excited to talk about this challenge.
Grant needs to have for an entire weekend, Friday night to Sunday morning, 7 people in the tiny apartment I mentioned he has earlier.
Yes. Family members.
Yes, his parents, uncle, aunt, and cousins.
And his brother,
who's an introvert, and we don't see his brother get off that laptop the entire time.
This is why it's so fascinating to me. So the way they set this up is Allie is like...
Is there a minimum number of people that he has to get to stay here to make this a victory?
What makes sense?
You could sleep six.
Okay. So you have to get seven people
to come. Which is great. So the interesting part is there is a moment where he contacts his parents and says, do you want a free trip to L.A.? Because his parents are from Ohio. So I'm guessing on company dime, they fly out Grant's family. Which makes sense because I'm sure there's a budget for each stunt.
Yes.
So that's where the budget is going, is flying in Grant's family. The rules are, if anyone leaves, he loses.
Yes.
They can't leave the apartment. It's not like they get to go sightseeing in L.A. They have to stay in this tiny apartment.
They don't get to go outside.
In one of the greatest decisions the show makes, we get a scene of Allie, Grant, and Grant's parents at a restaurant.
Yes.
And, like, you can tell there's this energy of College Humor's paying for this meal. And, like, them legitimately being like, let's get good food.
Yeah.
And Grant's dad talks about, like, the sacrifice involved in sending Grant to college. And he cries.
We've all been very expensive. What's that like?
We don't do things. There's some things you just don't do.
Dad, we would like to pay off our house.
Yep.
So it does affect us. It does affect us. We, let's put it this way. From a parent standpoint, we're so glad we did it.
Oh.
No.
Yeah, he feels badly that he couldn't not put his son in debt.
Yeah, like it's fast. And like he's crying. He's just like, I don't regret it, though. Like, it's such a real moment in this reality show. And this reality show is so fascinating to me because it came out in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
In doing our show, we talk about watching reality shows where they haven't figured out reality shows yet.
Yes.
Like, you can watch something and be like, okay, they don't know how to film a moment like this yet. Or they're just letting reality play out here. They're not manufacturing anything here. In this, they know how to film a reality show. They don't know how to create a reality show. So it is a properly filmed reality show without any of those manufactured moments. So this is the most real reality show I feel like I've ever seen.
Yeah.
When we get to the lock-in part of this challenge, Grant has to cook, and we see Grant's brother on a laptop.
Yeah.
And there's a moment where Grant is doing like a talking head to the camera from his kitchen, so everyone else is just in the other room. And Grant says,
my concern right now is with my brother. This is a lot for him. And so I'm concerned that it might just, by like late tomorrow night, he might just say, I can't do this anymore and walk out the door.
If this was a quote unquote proper reality show, we would get tons of talking heads of Grant's brother considering leaving to create stakes. But this is more real in that Grant's brother doesn't want to be there and thus doesn't want to talk.
Yeah.
We never see Grant's brother say a word.
No, he's just trying to white knuckle through this.
And that to me makes the show so much better because with like my knowledge of how reality shows work, seeing that and being like, oh, he legitimately doesn't want to be there. This isn't manufactured. It's fascinating.
Yeah, it's really well done. And this is shot so well to really grasp how claustrophobic this whole thing is.
Yeah, they measure the length of the living room. And it's 11 by 6?
Yeah, it is.
And like, Grant's really tall.
Yes.
Like, it is not as long as two Grants standing on his shoulders.
I don't think it's as wide as one Grant.
Yeah. It is tiny. And all there is this, like, living room that has his bed in it.
Yeah.
Because it's his living slash bedroom, a tiny kitchen, and then a closet that leads to the bathroom.
Yes.
It's small. And, like, all their luggage is in the bathtub because there was no place to put the luggage. It's, like, it's very interesting.
It's miserable.
Yeah. Grant has to cook and cook something with pineapple, and everyone's allergic to pineapple? Or someone's allergic to pineapple.
Yeah. And he forgot.
Yeah. Grant's goal...
That wasn't part of the challenge. Yeah. He forgot.
Grant's goal is to just get everybody drunk.
Or high.
Or high. So they're just all doing substances. In a moment that I wish we got to see more of, a panicked Grant reaches out to Allie for mercy.
Yes.
And...
She sends over some pizza.
Yeah, Allie comes in with three pizzas. One normal pizza and two pizzas that are no cheese, no sauce, and anchovies.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Evil. Absolutely evil. It's because he asks about ordering food and finds out that he can't because he'd have to walk out to get it.
Right.
Which I think is brilliant.
This is so, like, it's such a fascinating idea.
Yeah. And then when everybody shows up, when Allie and the crew show up Sunday morning, everyone is just, like, desperate to get out. Like, yeah. Free us. But they both get it.
They both succeed. How much was this episode for?
I don't have it written down for some reason. They both won $1,500, so I'm guessing this one was for $2,000.
Yeah, that sounds
about right. Or $2,500, I think, based on the way the increments go, because the next episode's for $5,000.
The next episode's for $2,500.
Oh, you're right. Okay, so this is probably for $2,000.
This is probably for $2,000, yeah. Do you think you could do these?
So, I'd be hard-pressed to have 8 family members.
Right.
I don't think I have 8 living family members at this point. So if I had everyone who's currently alive in my biological family, I don't think I'd hit 8 people.
Well, I think what's interesting about it is...
So this... my only thing would become my friend. And yeah, I feel like we have done fine. This.
Yeah.
And I would sing the national anthem at a minor league game. That I would do for $100.
Yeah. Yeah.
But also, singing in public doesn't bother me. I know the words to national anthem.
I mean...
If there's a bat dog, all the better.
I'm not a singer. I cannot sing. It's very interesting. Like, I'm not a good singer, but when I'm feeling the most comfortable, I tend to sing. I sing a lot on Twitch.
Yeah.
Because I'm just kind of, like, in my performance groove, and, like, all the people who actually come to my Twitch streams like me. So I have no problem, like, singing a little bit. But I have bombed at a minor league baseball game before, and also in school, in church, I had to sing Prepare Ye from Godspell.
Okay.
And it was awful. It was so awful that when I was done, I said my name was Anthony, because there was a kid named Anthony who looked like me. So I tried to pin it on him, because it was so bad. So yeah, like, I could probably do that. It would not be good, but I could do that. My family in a closet together would be a bit rough. My dad and sister love games. My mom doesn't care for games. I think it would be pretty rough. Beyond my mom, dad, and sister, it really depends on who's there.
I feel like it would also be your brother-in-law.
It would probably be my brother-in-law. It would probably be my cousin. Like, I don't think I'm reaching out to any uncle.
Actually trying to think of, like, what cousin.
Probably Ash.
So then also that would probably fold in her husband.
Yeah.
And child.
Ooh, yeah. Which, no, like, no babies.
That's not a baby. That's a toddler. Because you would have a full toddler situation in there.
I think one of the, like, real cruxes of Grant's challenge is I cannot recreate his experience, because this is the guy who left his small town in Ohio to make it big in LA, and his family being forced to see what that actually looks like.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, this is my job, is being tortured like this. That's intense. I probably could do this. It would be a very different experience. Be rough because apparently Grant had to cook, and I'm not the greatest cook.
No.
So I don't know what.
See, I think the worst this could go for you.
Pizza rolls for everybody.
The worst this could go for you is if I had to be there.
You'd leave.
Yes.
You would leave.
Because that's where you have the problem. Is I would be like, no to this. Goodbye. But like, it's hard for me to gauge because I just don't have a lot of family members to imagine this with. So be my friends, which is fine.
I think the other thing that's terrifying about Grant's challenge is there's this moment where, like, he's making coffee and he wakes his brother up, who's sleeping on the floor of the kitchen in a sleeping bag.
Oh, which is miserable.
Which is so miserable. And this idea of doing it for 2 days just to have someone leave and get nothing.
Oh.
Like, that's so terrifying. This is such a fascinating show. And halfway through, I truly love it. No one has failed.
Yeah.
Everyone has succeeded. So, like, there's this interesting thing going into the second half being like, eventually someone has to fail, right?
Yeah.
What is that going to look like?
Everyone's gotten through.
And, like, it's more real than any reality show I've ever seen before.
Yes.
But there's also more, like, quality to it than it. Because you're learning all this stuff about the state of college loans as you're going through this. Like, when you watch Survivor, you don't actually ever learn how to start a fire. Like, no. You don't actually gain anything from watching it. I felt like I gained stuff, like perspective and knowledge from watching this show.
Yeah.
And so that's the first five episodes. Back half is going to look real different.
Yeah, which is why I think that it makes sense for us to split this into two.
Yes. If you want, I also highly recommend if you've listened to this and you have not watched this and you are intrigued, we, like, the first five episodes, we can just kind of talk about. There's, like, spoilery stuff coming up. I highly recommend you take some time and watch this one. You can sign up for Dropout. I believe we found out after we got it through Roku that it is now cheaper to sign up through the website.
Yeah.
So I highly recommend you do that and join us for the rest of this journey because it gets wild after episode five. Yeah, this show is a roller coaster. Yeah, so check it out. Check out Dropout. It's a lot of fun. We should have worked out some sort of, like, deal with Dropout. I should have reached out to my friend Jess Ross about it. But yeah, there's going to be a link below about
it. Like, a lot of things from Dropout are things that I have, like, a ambition crush on.
Like, oh, yes.
I want to do dirty laundry with people we know so badly.
Every time we watch something from Dropout, I'm like, I want to do a show similar to this. How do I do it? What do I do? Where can I get the resources to this? It's so much fun.
Yes.
But thank you so much for joining us for another edition of this. We will be back next week with more of Total Forgiveness. And if you're having a lot of fun, check out our Patreon, patreon.com/plus2comedy. And at the $5 level, you can join our Discord, similar to Dropout,
yeah,
and talk to us about stuff. And if you really want, I'll let you guys write jokes for me, and I'll do a set at...
Oh boy.
Which I realized in a project that has not released yet, I've also done that exact challenge before. Did jokes someone else wrote for me. That video will come out eventually, I promise. Where can people find us?
You can email us at the Stay Doomed Show or on Facebook and Twitter at Stay Doomed.
And if you have a joke you'd like to see me perform at an open mic, I'm at +2comedy.
If you also want to just go to a minor league baseball game and hang out with the dog, I'm at Prilarities. Until next time, stay doomed.